Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah, they have asked for that, really.
You can laugh. I'm the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist, but having said that, I want to be like me.
But you don't know what you're talking about.
What did you know?
I managed to stay alive for 6 days.
I'm going to leave it there.
I'd say it to your face, and I'll say it to you now.
I'm down to Anfield, and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawnee man?
It takes a lot, I would imagine, to impress Paul Pogba, a World Cup winner, one of the best footballers in the world, one of the most self-assured footballers in the world. But according to a piece I read this morning, Pogba was so blown away by witnessing Ronaldo's second debut for Man United that he now wants to stay at the club just to see how all this pans out. The Athletic has learned that Saturday had a significant bearing on Pogba's thinking over his future. Apparently, recent events are believed, this is including the other signings, recent events are believed to have had a profound effect on Pogba, and there is now a feeling that opting to stay at United is becoming a realistic possibility. So apparently Pogba was too busy cheering on Ronaldo's goals to notice all the Newcastle players running past Pogba himself, who is exposed in central midfield. But that's a mere detail that I'm sure will be ironed out. Welcome to Monday's mini Second Captain's Football Podcast. Hi Ken, hi Murph.
Hey there, Owen. How's it going?
I'm all right, Ken. Do you know what? I want to start, not with Ronaldo, we'll come back to him, but with Harvey Elliott, Ken, because you wrote a cogent piece today, I must say, and a thought-provoking piece in the Irish Times about the Harvey Elliott tackle that he received, and I guess how it's, is it right to say, maybe a natural conclusion to all this let-the-game-flow stuff that we've been seeing this season? Something like this was always in danger of happening?
Well, you know, was it three weeks ago that Liverpool played Burnley and Jurgen Klopp had a good whinge about it afterwards and said, what is this, let it flow? No one knows what that means. It seems like they've taken the game back 10 or 15 years with these types of challenges. We have to put protecting the players above that. You know, this is, the, you know, and for this, he was laughed at out of town by everybody. This guy whinges so much. What's he going to do next? Whinge about the wind again? That's a good one. It's always good when he whinges about the wind. You know, there was nothing, there was no malice, blah, blah, blah. You know, Sean Dyche was like, don't name check my players. Because he name checked, I think, Chris Wood and
the big lads. Barnes. Yeah. The big lads up front, yeah.
The big boys. And, you know, Gary Neville was like, oh, this is the guy who talked about heavy metal football. You know, and now what we hear is, and you know, Alan Shearer said it was pantomime because he's, you know, oh, it's all just Klopp trying to get favorable treatment, you know, tap side of head. It's all about just getting favorable treatment from referees. That's all this is about. So Klopp is already the kind of Cassandra, but delightfully for him, he gets to be the manager whose player becomes collateral damage from the new rules. Mm-hmm. There's no new rules. There's a vague directive, just sort of not to really enforce the rules that tightly anymore. You know what I mean? Let it flow. Mm. You know,
if it feels right, do it or don't do it. Whatever makes
even happen. Even if that's raking your studs down somebody's Achilles, if it feels right,
yeah. If
you're the referee, you know, if the ball was there, I think, says the referees, you know.
Mm. It's like, it's just, you know, see, we don't want to be giving out free kicks willy-nilly. And so it ends up that it's Harvey Elliott. Harvey Elliott, who, I mean, I guess it was a surprise that he was even playing against Leeds. You know, Jordan Henderson, Naby Keita, James Milner all sitting on the Liverpool bench, and Elliott, the 18-year-old, is playing pretty well, as he has been this season. And he basically gets chopped down by Pascal Struyck from behind, and his leg is shattered. I mean, you could see it on the play. You could see it in real time, how the leg dangled as he sort of lay on the ground. And so what I think the Premier League should do is, you know, the way the Bundesliga logo is like a silhouette. It's sort of NBA style, but it's a silhouette of a footballer like leaping in the air with his sort of stretching his leg out to control the ball. I think is Dennis Bergkamp associated with? Imagine Dennis Bergkamp pulling down that Frank de Boer pass against Argentina.
Gotcha.
You know, that leap and jump. That's what the Bundesliga have. The Premier League should get someone to draw up a logo of a guy tackling another guy from behind, and the guy who's getting tackled from behind, the lower leg snapping in two, and use that as the logo, because that is the meaning of, that's the meaning of common sense. And then they should just have the two words common sense underneath this gruesome image.
No, let it flow, surely.
Well, let it flow. You could have let it flow at the top in sort of a curve. You could have let it flow like, you know, Manchester
in cursive,
United.
Yeah.
Yeah, flowy,
yeah, like
writing.
Like Coca-Cola, you know, let it flow.
And then a guy coming through, hard but fair, through the back of someone and snapping their leg in half, and then what's the common sense? And that should be the new global branding. Get rid of the lion. The lion is stupid. The lion doesn't mean anything. Whereas this image I feel gets across the real essence of what the Premier League is all about now. Instead, what we had was TV companies like squeamishly saying, oh, we won't show that again. Why not? Why aren't you showing that? That should be like showing on loop on Sky Sports News. It's like, this is what you wanted. This is what you wanted. So like, let's have another look at that. Let's look at the, do we think we got the tibia and the fibula there? Is it just a dislocation, or do we get both of the bones? You know, oh, that's good. You know, if you look at it, Struyck doesn't really foul him, does he? It's sort of the training. It's just his knee. You know, it's not like he got him with the studs. It's the knee of the trailing leg that crushes the shin. Like, I couldn't believe it. And Klopp afterwards literally couldn't speak in his Shreves. You know, Shreves is like, well, you know, you were talking to the referee. And Klopp literally was unable to speak. He's like, well, what am I supposed to say? Like, I whinged about this 3 weeks ago when it might have, you know, maybe there could have been a difference made, but instead here we are. He's got his leg broken. Well, I haven't heard that he's definitely got his leg broken, but it certainly looked as though it was broken. Mm-hmm. Klopp only mentioned that it was a dislocation of the ankle, so whether that was ankle dislocated on top of a leg break, which is what it looked like, I suppose we'll hear for sure. But you know, he already said all this at a point when it couldn't make a difference. Can't do anything about it now. I saw pundits, or there were people going, well, you know, it's always awful when, you know, when you're involved in an incident like that, and hopefully Pascal Struyck is able to get over it. You're like, what the hell? Pascal Struyck will be okay. Like, and I don't even really mean to blame him. I'm not actually blaming him here. He's only doing what he's encouraged to do. Like, they've created a high-risk environment, and people then go, oh, it's a freak accident. It's not a freak accident. It's an entirely predictable accident. Like, if you were the ruler, Owen, of a small country, let's call it Ireland, and you said, you know what I was really grinding my gears about Ireland is the way that we all, when we're driving around in our cars, we have to drive really slowly when we're going through build-up areas. That really grinds my gears. You know, I've got a car, it's capable of doing, at top speed, when I open it up, it's capable of doing at least 80 kilometers an hour. And I want to be able to...
It's a real beast, this machine.
I want to be able... Yeah, in this car, I want to be able to open up that throttle all the way, and it doesn't matter where I am, because I'm an adult, and passers-by appreciate the sight of good flowing driving. Because I'm flowing down the streets very fast. And you drive past the school at lunchtime, and there's
okay, please don't continue. Yeah. I know, I see where you're going with this.
There's been a lot of graphic imagery in this podcast already. Okay. So,
and then it's like, oh no, there's been a terrible freak accident. you know, it's really an awful freak accident. Who could have seen that coming? I suppose these are the risks that you have to accept. You know, it is a contact sport, driving. I hope that Owen is able to get over this. It's very sad, you know, of course, when you are involved in a mass casualty event. Sometimes, do you see what I'm saying, right? Whose fault is this? You know, have we created a high risk environment? Yeah. Now, the point that I was trying to make today in the article was that you have to think about what's really going on here, because if you look at the Harvey Elliott episode, what happened? And what are people trying to do with this let it flow? What it means is they're saying we're tired of players whining and screaming and throwing themselves to the ground and getting free kicks for tiny things that, you know, it's not like it was when we were kids, you know, and it annoys us, and it should go back to the way it was in the old days. That's basically what's going on here. But the thing about the old days was that they were different. Right, they were different in a few different ways. First of all, you didn't have any players like Pascal Struyck in the old days, by which I mean a 6'3" guy with not a pick of fat on him who's capable of running at like 25 miles an hour, right? Even though he's not even you considered that fast. You did, and you certainly wouldn't have had Pascal Struyck running across that springy turf of Elland Road. You might have had him wading through it in galoshes, you know what I mean? Or he's ankle deep in mud. What I'm saying is that, like, you're talking about forces exist in that game out there which didn't exist in the old days. Oh, Pascal Struyck in the old days would have been 9.5 stone, right? He would have been 5'8" tall and 9.5 stone. Now he's 6'3" and he's moving a lot faster across, you know, a nice pitch that allows him to pick up a bit of speed.
That's an extraordinary case of malnutrition if he's 6 inches shorter than he should in the 1970s.
But look, this is the truth. I mean, you know, you look at people in the 60s and 70s.
Well, Big Jack Charlton had a fair few inches on him, Ken. Big Jack was a tall man.
Big Jack was a tall man, but I'm sure he never hit the speed that struck.
No, he wasn't. I don't think moving that body at that speed.
But,
that is true.
But here's the key point about it, which is that Harvey Elliott was born in 2003, right? That's to say 5 years after they made tackling from behind illegal, right? That was in 1998. 5 years after that, this guy, Harvey Elliott, was born. And he's grown up playing this game where you don't tackle from behind. And if you look at what happened in the incident where he has broken his, well, I say broken his leg, I don't know, I haven't had that confirmed, but he sustained an obviously massive injury because of a hard but fair challenge. The ball is chipped forward to him by Fabinho. He kind of lets it go past him, and as the ball is coming past, he starts trying to speed up, and then he controls the ball as it's sort of bouncing in such a way as, because he knows that Struyck is coming to challenge him, it's coming to close him down and put pressure on him for the ball, but he takes a touch on the ball, which is going to take the ball across Struyck's path, right? Struyck is running and he's going to take the ball in order that he can get it, because Struyck's going to be faster than him to get to this ball the way that it is. He hasn't had to, you know, control it or anything, but he knows that if he gets the ball across Struyck and then he gets in front of him, he's going to be able to keep the ball, because Struyck can't legally get the ball, right? Yeah. Struyck can maybe knock him over, in which case it's a free kick.
You win the free, yeah. It's a classic thing. Players are literally encouraged to do that by commentators. You see it a lot, going, oh yeah, what he should have done there, or they praise him for doing that there. He's gotten across his man there so that he's given the defender a decision to make, kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. Now, I put it to you, Owen, that if this was happening 50 years earlier or 40 years earlier, Harvey Elliott is not going to do that in that position. Why? Because he doesn't want to do something suicidally stupid is why. Because he knows that if he does that, he's given the defender a blank check to destroy the back of his legs. He's like, I'm just gonna park myself in front of you here. You're running at speed, and we know that the rules allow you to basically come through me from behind. So, but he's not going to do it. Either he's not going to take the touch that way, or if somehow he does end up in a situation like that, What he's ready for.
Oh, ready for contact. Ready for the lunge.
Big time, Owen. Big time, he's ready for contact. And if he's got anything about him, it's Struyck who's going to get stamped on here. right? Because that's the way that the game was played back then, when the tackle from behind was part of the game. And, you know, what I'm saying here is that Harvey Elliott, the 1970s Harvey Elliott, is coming to the situation with a completely different attitude than the born in 2003, has only ever played modern football, Harvey Elliott. If you bring back these types of challenges, if you say it's fine to forcefully challenge people from behind, it's a man's game, get up. Right? If you're saying that, you're going to have a lot of injuries from players who aren't used to, who haven't grown up playing this game. They haven't learned the habits of self-preservation that protected players that players needed to employ. I mean, you didn't see all the guys hobbling around who never did get to play professional football because they were destroyed by a tackle from behind before they ever got to that level. So what I'm saying is, this is the outcome. It's like tackles which had been cleaned out of the game in an attempt to let it flow is the most, like, it's an amazing slogan that they've chosen, because by cleaning these things out of the game, that's how you arrived at the far faster, more flowy version of the game.
This is where I wanted to come in here, Ken, because like that all started in the 90s. You know, you look back at the 90 World Cup, and when they still had a back pass and they still had these lunges going through to strikers, and the game was so slow, and there was genuine concern back then that like this sport is going to be a bit shite. Yeah, not obviously as
like Marco van Basten is the best player in the world, and it ends up like with both of his Achilles tendons hanging by a thread just because he just kept getting tackled from like. He got kicked out of the game in the way that Ken is describing there.
But it is what struck me about this. Even reading your piece this morning, I was kind of thinking, wasn't the whole idea behind changing the rules in the first place to make it faster, to give attackers the benefit, to let them be the ones? Where suddenly now it's like, actually, it's the hard man, it's the Vinnie Jones type who's going to be encouraged back into the game at this rate.
Well, that's what we miss. You know, that's actually what we want to see. We want to see people getting crunched. But then, oh no, we can't show that. Are you kidding me? Like, face up to what you want.
I suppose that's
drink it in. They should be there with their Clockwork Orange. You know, eyelids prized apart, just eyeballs pointed at the over and over again, that leg snapping, because that's what they want to see, you know?
I know. Harvey Elliott has family, though. He has friends, his loved ones. You know, they don't need to be seeing that. I don't know if that's who the TV companies are thinking of in those situations. Sorry, what'd you say there?
They don't love common sense. Harvey Elliott.
Well, they certainly don't love having to see their loved ones getting snapped like that over and over again.
I mean, you know, so what I'm saying is these, you know, people going on like, it's a freak accident. It's not. It's a predictable accident. This is what happens.
Jurgen Klopp
predicted
it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, he literally called it like Babe Ruth. He's like, you know, this is going to happen. And then, oh, I was right. Oh, brilliant. You know, it makes me so happy to be right again. And even now, people are still like, well, I don't think it's a red. Like, well, okay. I mean, the reality is it wasn't a red. I mean, the referee, Craig Pawson, didn't even give a foul. It was Mo Salah screaming. Mo Salah called on the doctors. Like, the ref was kind of there uncertainly. Like, what's going on here? Obviously, something's happened. And the doctors are already coming on because Salah's like, just get on. The game is going to be stopped. It doesn't matter. And, you know, there's then a really similar foul. Sorry, a really similar challenge by Cooper on Mane a few minutes later. And there's no foul. But he's given a red to strike purely because he's seen this injury. Didn't give it as a foul in normal play. And then someone does something very similar. And again, it's not a foul. So what I'm saying is, if that isn't a foul, prepare to see plenty more freak accidents. It's like, gee, I can't believe how many freak accidents we've had. This is really unbelievable, isn't it? This is like, how many times is lightning going to strike the back of people's legs? You know, because that, I mean, you know, and I think as I'm trying to say, I think you're going to get more of these types of incidents when you've got players who aren't ready for that. Players are playing a different type of game now. They're not thinking all the time about self-preservation. That's what allows them to play a kind of a fast and risky game, you know, which it doesn't have to be always looking over their shoulder and ready to stamp on a leg that's coming through, because they don't think that leg is going to come through. They're focusing on the ball, on the next pass, on the next move. That's how you get a fast and flowing game. And this is, you know, you've got a bunch of reactionary morons who have decided, well, no, actually, what people want to see is violence and broken legs. And so, okay, well, you know, that's what we're going to see. Of course, that's not what we're going to see, because they will now tighten it up, you know, because ultimately they can't afford. I mean, what if this happened in the next, what if the next person this happened to was Ronaldo? You know what I mean? That might be a game changer.
By the way,
it would be different, right? I mean, how many people do you think would have said, oh, you know, I hope Strike is so, actually, in fairness, even I might be saying, I wouldn't want to be the guy who broke Ronaldo's leg. But you know what I mean? It would be, I don't think too many people would be like, well, I don't know if it was a red. I think he's been very unlucky to be sent off there. As you know, as Ronaldo was carried off with the famous striker, the leg that struck nearly 800 goals, never to strike another.
What did you think of the Ronaldo debut? It's funny, when a massive player like that signs for a new team and starts playing, like, it normally takes me a bit of adjusting to it, but obviously the fact that he had his United career, the fact that there was so much coverage, so much social media stuff, I'd seen him so often in the jersey again by the time the match came around, that it just actually felt completely like, oh yeah, of course, Ronaldo's a United player. I mean, it's I guess, like, he was never away. It might be the corny phrase to use.
Well, it was obviously different from when the last time he was there, because since then, you know, I mean, when he left, he was already the I guess he was the reigning Ballon d'Or. He was, mm-hmm. And you know, he was regarded as the best player in the world, and Messi would win the Ballon d'Or that year. And obviously, since then, they've just been dividing it between themselves every year, except for the year Modric won. And he's become this kind of a star on a level that the sport had never seen before, and that possibly modern life hasn't seen before. You know, just in terms of the sheer level of that fame, the kind of constant adulation, week after week, month after month, year after year, everybody looking at it on their phones the whole time. You know, sort of, we're all sort of living in this world where he's this kind of constant presence. And I don't think I've ever seen hero worship like that before. At a, you know, in terms of the reaction of the crowd to Ronaldo, the sort of the hype that was surrounding everything that he did, you know, like,
even before he arrived at the stadium, you know, as he arrived at the stadium, there's a big crowd already waiting to cheer him off the bus, all that kind of crack that you don't normally get on a match day at Old Trafford, or probably anywhere for that matter.
It was really amazing, wasn't it? Like, the, you know, the way in which people can be sort of swept along on these sort of waves of hysteria. I mean, it's kind of hysteria, right, surrounding him. And also, you know, this is all taking place in the context. There's a plane flying around above the ground with, believe, Catherine Mayorga, I think, is on the banner. So, like, this thing, this reminder is literally there, like, parked in the sky above the stadium, and nobody cares. Well, I say nobody cares, but most people clearly don't. You know what I mean? It's like that's not, sorry, but that doesn't come into my, I'm not thinking about that. Let's give ourselves over entirely to this, like, hero worship. And I kind of thought, I thought it's sort of interesting, like, this didn't really happen at Juventus, did it? I mean, to this extent, like, this kind of, like,
the hero worship.
Well, hero worship makes it sound too sort of ordinary. Like, this is like just absolute idol worship. You know, like the golden calf. Here he is. Something very weird about the whole thing. And I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, this is interesting. Well, how can he possibly live up to this? Who can live up to this level of hype? And of course he does, because he scores two goals. Now, he needed a bit of help from the goalkeeper. He couldn't have done it without young Woodman, to be fair. The first shot through from Greenwood got a little deflection. I still thought the goalkeeper was quite weak, and, you know, or it just kissed off his glove so perfectly for Ronaldo. People were sort of complimenting his movement or whatever, but I'm kind of like, well, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the best illustration of his genius. Second goal was a very good goal, but again, the goalkeeper should be saving that. You know, Ronaldo, his movement and take from pass by shore
typical. It's what Ronaldo is. You know, it's kind of like what we're expecting now. From now on, this the 2021 version of Ronaldo. It's like Neil Lennon, we were doing it on TV, and Neil Lennon made the point that, like, he does still have pace It's just he doesn't obviously make those sprints anywhere near as often, but you know, he still has it and he can use it when there's a sniff of a goal. And like, it's literally just one touch. Every touch is always perfect when he's in and around goal. You know, like the first touch is perfect, which means he only needs one touch rather than other players who might have had to take one and push it further out of their feet, whatever it might be. Whereas he's just like, no, I'll just knock this on with my right and then hit it with my left. Should have been saved, yes, but our boy Woodman, he knew what the narrative was.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then and Newcastle's goal actually to equalise had been very good. So it seemed as though, oh, this is going to be an interesting game now. But of course, Ronaldo completely finished that, and then some great goals by Bruno and by Lingard. Lingard's goal was the best goal of the game, I guess. And you're looking at that United team, thinking, wow. Like, I mean, there is a lot of talent here now. A lot of options. You know, Cavani and Rashford weren't even involved in the squad. You've got a situation where Newcastle, on the occasions that they did manage to get out of defence, and there was quite a few of those, to be fair, they're up against Varane and Maguire instead of, you know, Lindelof. It's just sort of they've moved up a level there as well. And I know it was ultimately Varane actually who St. Maximin and Manquillo between them beat for the briefly equalizing goal. But I kind of feel as though United are probably better set up now to defend against those types of counterattacks. Fran is just a better player than they've had before in that position. And, you know, they do look really strong. You know, with Ronaldo scoring a goal a game, I mean, as he's been doing, you know.
They were opened up quite a bit, though, as I mentioned, like, you know, Pogba and that in midfield. I don't know. I think it's going to be fun to watch, I think, because as good, you know, as good as Varane is, and he had a couple of shaky moments as well, but you know, I'm sure he'll be brilliant. They do. It is still a strangely balanced team, which might provide excitement.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but it is. It was a really strange spectacle, the whole thing.
Banner, believe Catherine Mayorga banner that was flown over Old Trafford. The Level Up feminist group were the ones who organised that. They said they wanted to remind crowds of the rape allegations, which date back to a night in Las Vegas in 2009. Mayorga, she reportedly reached an out-of-court settlement with Ronaldo in 2010, but then in 2018 she sought to reopen the case with her lawyer saying she'd been inspired by the Me Too movement. It became public in 2018 through Der Spiegel, and the story was printed there, and we covered it around that time. We covered it on a number of occasions, but we spoke to a journalist in Der Spiegel, if I remember correctly, Ken.
Yeah, we talked to Christoph Winterbach, who was one of the journalists who was working on that story at the time. I mean, that was when there was still a criminal proceeding against Ronaldo, which has since been stopped.
Yeah, police said that it could not be proved beyond reasonable doubt, and therefore they wouldn't be pressing charges against Ronaldo, who denies all accusations. It is still going through a civil case at the moment. So that's basically where things are with that at the moment. That's going through the Nevada court system now.
Yeah. Although if anyone ever tells you we live in a cancel culture, just remember that there are some exceptions.
That's it for this one. We'll be back with a full football podcast tomorrow. We've got our All-Ireland podcast to come later today and available to everybody. So listen out for that. Sign up for the football show, secondcaptains.com. It only costs €5 a month plus VAT. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Murph.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks for listening. Chat soon. Bye.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.